Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Well, good morning, everybody, and it's a real joy and a privilege to be back with you this morning. Thank you for the invitation and the lovely welcome from Dan. Thanks for that. Now, when you came in this morning, every child should have received one of these hearts. And if you didn't get one, make sure that you get one before you go home. I think the ushers have got them. And if I could suggest that you don't write or draw on them because they're going to be for something special later, or if you already have, just get another one on your way home because there's colouring at the front here as well. But I'm hoping that the children will be able to follow along this morning. So let's just pray, shall we, before we gather around God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you that there are men, women, and boys and girls throughout this world gathering today on Sunday, the Sabbath day, to worship you. As we've heard this morning from Wayne, some of them are in incredibly difficult places at this time, shining your light in dark places. But no matter what our circumstances, Lord, we pray that your great name would be lifted up across the world today, because that's what you deserve, King Jesus. And as we gather around your timeless word now, I pray that you would empty me of myself and that you would have a word in season for every person, including the children this morning. And in your mighty and matchless name we pray. Amen. Well, in this series, which we've been enjoying about David, we all love David, don't we? We've been looking at different aspects of him that has made him go down in history as the king or the man after God's own heart. And today we're going to look at how he was willing to give up his own plans to do what God wanted. Sacrifice. It's a tricky word and it crops up a lot in the Bible. So what does it really mean? Well, in the context that we're looking at today, as we just saw in the video, doing the right thing, protecting that sheep, came at a heavy cost to David because the bully broke his lyre. It was difficult because sacrifice is not easy, giving up something that we perhaps love. I wonder what sacrifice means to you. Now, it's the new year. Did anybody make New Year's resolutions? We're only 3 weeks in. I wonder how they're going, because maybe like me, after the Christmas excesses, you're trying to give up a few bits and pieces. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to give things up that you like. And children, I think you can relate. What if your mum and dad asked you to reduce or cut back on your screen time or not so much time playing with friends? You'd find it difficult because to sacrifice is not easy. It costs us something. And maybe, kids, you could talk about that with your family later. So in today's Bible story, when we get to it, David is going to make a big sacrifice. And I wonder if you can spot what it is. But before we get to the story, and I have to be honest, it's quite an unusual piece of scripture. Perhaps that's the plight of the guest speaker. None of the ministry leaders wanted to do it. No. I'm sure that wasn't the case. But it is an unusual piece of scripture. But I just want to give the background, because last week in Nick's message, we had David serving a cheese platter to King Saul and his friends. And this week, he's hiding in a cave from Saul. So why? So this is really for the children, but maybe some adults will find it useful as well. So Saul was God's first king of the Israelite people. And to start off with, Saul was doing a really good job. But as time went on, he got a bit proud and a bit full of himself, and he stopped doing what God asked him to do. He became disobedient. Now, children, this is a bit like when you're disobedient to your parents. It usually doesn't end that well, does it? Usually something happens. And God was not happy with the way Saul was behaving. And so he sent his prophet, his holy man, Samuel, to say to David, I'm going to take the kingship away from you and I'm going to give it to somebody more worthy. Well, as you can imagine, that is not really what Saul wanted to hear. He was enjoying being the king, being in charge of everyone and bossing everyone around. And so as Samuel turned to leave, Saul was so desperate for him to change his message that he grabbed hold of his robe and he tore it by mistake, trying to stop him. Well, now, not only, I'm sure, was Samuel quite cross at having his robe damaged, but as he turned back to Saul, he said, God is going to tear the kingdom from you, just as you have torn my robe. Oh dear. Next, God's holy man, Samuel the prophet, was sent off to the home of Jesse. Jesse of Bethlehem, who had a lot of sons. And God said to Samuel, one of those young men is going to be the next king, and I want you to anoint him. So David turns up at the house, and there's all these young men, but it's none of them. And it's David comes in from tending the sheep, as we saw in the video, and this scruffy kid is going to be anointed as the next king. And Samuel's thinking to himself, surely not. And all the brothers are no doubt thinking, surely not him. And then God spoke again to Samuel, this very important verse for all of us. Here it is. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Such an important verse for all of us. David made lots of mistakes in his life, but he's gone down in history as the man after God's own heart because he really wanted to put God first in his life, unlike King Saul, who wanted to put himself first and do his own thing. God was pleased with David's heart. So by this stage in the story, Saul actually doesn't know that David is the next anointed king, but he's become very jealous of David, and he's chasing him around the countryside, wanting to kill him. And so David and his friends are hiding in a cave. That was a long introduction, but I think we needed to know how we got from the cheese platter to hiding in a cave. So let's have the story now, which is long, and this is only half of it, but I've picked out the important bit. And children, I know you can follow this as well. So after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told David's in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Ooh. David and his men were far back in the cave, and the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut a corner off Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. And with these words, David sharply rebuked or told off his men and didn't allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, my Lord the King! And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you've seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but didn't kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I'm guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I haven't wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. Told you it's a bit of an unusual piece of scripture, didn't I? David and his friends, it's a bit like a pantomime, hiding in the back of this huge cave. It must have been a very large cave because David and his Saul and his 3,000 men, that's a lot of men to hunt down one man, were chasing him to kill him. And who should come in but the baddie of the story, King Saul? to do what my little grandsons down in Albany, who are 3 and 5, would call a bush wee. If you're caught short outside, it's off to do a bush wee or something worse, but we won't go there. And it only goes to show, doesn't it, that the Bible is not afraid to go to any topic at all concerned with human behavior. Well, of course, Saul's been making David's life an absolute misery. He's been chasing him around the countryside, wanting to kill him. From David's perspective, it must have been really frightening and stressful. Really, really frightening. Kids, if you've ever had to put up with a bully at school, you know it's not fun times. It's not good. But unlike Saul, David was determined not to take matters into his own hands. He wanted to wait on the Lord's timing and to do the right thing, his timing for him to become king, even though all his friends were saying, go on, go and kill him now. And he regretted, you remember, he crept up and he cut the corner of Saul's robe. That's how close he was to him. But he regretted even doing that. So did you work it out? What did David sacrifice? Sacrificed the opportunity, didn't he, to get rid of Saul once and for all, and that would have made his life a lot easier, but it wasn't what the Lord told him to do. And of course, for Saul, seeing the piece of cut robe, his own robe, in David's hand, he would have been reminded of the incident when he had torn Samuel's robe. And he would have known that, you know, that the kingdom was going to be torn from his hand and given to somebody more worthy, and that person was going to be David. Much later on in history, Jesus behaved in exactly the same way. He waited on God's timing and justice to deal with his enemies, even when it led to him to that horrible death on a cross. Even as he hung dying, he was ridiculed. Oh, I thought you said you were the Son of God. Come on down if you were. You saved other people. Why can't you save yourself? That's what he had to put up with. Jesus sacrificed getting even with difficult, evil people. He didn't seek revenge. He didn't retaliate. He even actually forgave them and prayed for them. And just as David did eventually become king of Israel and all of God's promises were fulfilled, God the Father himself avenged Jesus by raising him from the dead and then taking him into his eternal kingdom, where he has become the King of Kings and is seated at the right hand of the Father, because there is simply no one greater than the Lord Jesus, who sacrificed, gave up everything so that you and me can know the Father and live with him forever. And that's what this verse from Hebrews means. And by that will, not the will of Jesus, by the will of the Father, he was obedient to his Father, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Well, thank you. That the rightful response to that from every human being is, thank you, Lord Jesus. Please come and be king of my life. And Jesus was someone who always put the needs of other people above his own. He put your need, my need, as he was hanging on that cross. And that, as Christ's followers, and children, this is for you as well, that's what he asks us to do. It's a sacrificial way of living. So how do we do this? We've already said with our New Year's resolutions, we're not that great at that. But, you know, children, when you think about it, all the arguments that you have with your brothers and sisters or your friends at school, it's usually because somebody's not getting their own way. Is that right? I think so. And to be perfectly honest, adults are a bit better at hiding it, but we're not that much different. We like our own way. So how do we follow in the footsteps of Jesus day by day? Well, Jesus himself taught his disciples that they wouldn't be able to follow him and they wouldn't be able to be the light of Christ, which is what we are meant to be, until they accepted that they couldn't do it all by themselves. And that's what David wisely realized in that cave. He couldn't act alone. He needed God to show him the right way and the right time. And we need the Holy Spirit to do the same day by day. And Jesus taught and said to the disciples, don't just ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit once when you become a Christian, oh, that's it. No, every single day when you're praying, ask to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And it's then that we can get in on God's plans for our lives, because he's in charge, not me. So in this very building, this is very fond memories for me, out in the function room and sometimes in the hall, we used to have children's prayer meetings back in the day when I was on the team here. And so many exciting things happened in those prayer meetings. And children, are you listening? Because I want to tell you today that you do not have to wait to be a grown-up to start on your God adventure. King David's life, his whole life, was a God adventure, and it started when he was a young boy. I have learned, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that children find it very easy to hear from the Holy Spirit. But the challenge is, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to do what he asks you to do? Just as David was obedient, and then later Jesus was obedient. I've invited my friend, the lovely Esty Brettenbach, to come and join me for a few moments, because Esty, back in the day, I think she was about 10, we've got a picture of this, used to come along to children's prayer. Esty, something's happened. And I've... yeah, she's no longer 10. When I was preparing this message, the Lord really brought Esty to my mind, because I remembered that God had spoken to you in a very specific way at one of these children's prayer meetings. So I wonder if you could just share with us about that incident. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It's been an absolute privilege to be able to grow up and knowing Kathy and under her leadership. She's really invested a lot into my personal faith journey, but also a lot of the other children who have grown up with me. So a big thank you for that,
Kathy. I didn't ask her to
say
that. Slip you the 20 later.
Yes, we had the opportunity to attend the World... World Prayer Assembly over in Jakarta. And once we had returned, we were able to run children in prayer here in the function room. And I remembered being so excited by this chance to get to be with lots of other children praying for all the different countries and people all over the world. And near the end of the day, we had a chance to do what's called soaking in prayer, which was a chance to just be still after the day of lots of excitement and activities and dancing and singing and praying together. But this was an opportunity to lie down by ourselves. You could have your eyes closed or open, and it was just a moment between you and God. And I remember this one particular moment where I was lying there and I still had some jitters inside of me, but I asked God, Lord, I pray that you would just take all my thoughts away and just help me to focus on what you want for me to do. And I remember now, it all came back to me, of seeing this picture come up. I was in my room and it went into a split screen. And in one image, it was me playing with my toys or playing on my computer with my sisters. And in the other one, in the exact same room, was me sitting down with my Bible open, spending time with God. And I remembered him asking, basically, for me to choose, how do I want to spend my time? And I felt the Holy Spirit's just leading me to the image of being in the Word of God. And just feeling that immediate choice there, I think in myself, maybe playing with the games and playing with my sisters seemed to be the thing I would rather do. But after having had the chance to spend time more with God and to see how much he loves me, just being drawn by the Spirit towards wanting to completely spend my time with God. And that is something that has played an immense role in my life ever since then. And knowing that it's because Jesus loves me and because of his sacrifice, he asks us to make those little choices and sacrifices in return. And it is such a privilege getting to do that.
It's such a thrill to see you walking with the Lord in the way that you are and the way the Lord has spoken to you since you, I think we worked out you were about 10 when that happened. But, you know, children, There were much younger children there who also heard from the Lord, but he wants to speak to you so that he can guide you throughout your whole life. And I think that word has been quite significant in your life, hasn't it, Esther?
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining and sharing it with us this morning. Let's thank Esther very much. So, children, coming back to this card that you were given, and thinking about that verse, which we'll have up again, that God doesn't really look at what we look like on the outside. He's not really bothered how cool we look or, you know, all those things that we get very caught up about, what trainers I've got, what clothes I'm wearing. What God is really interested in, and this, of course, is for adults as well, is the state of our heart. And is your heart soft towards the Lord, as Esther's heart was? And then he's been able to grow her in her faith. So children, go home and have a little bit of time either with your parents, if that's helpful, or older kids. You could do this by yourself in your room. Think about if, you know, God's looking inside your heart, what does it look like to him at the moment? And then it says, my prayer of hope. What is your prayer for how your heart might look as you grow up before the Lord? And maybe put today's date on. I think it's the 19th of January, 2025. Put it in your Bible or somewhere safe and come back to it in the future, just as Esther's been able to revisit that vision that God gave her when she was 10. Will you do that for me? I'm going to finish with a story from Canon J. John. Now, a cannon, I thought it was something that fired cannonballs, but it turns out in Anglican churches it's somebody who's very high up. So you may have heard of Canon J. John. He's English, so he must be good. But he was over in Perth a few years ago, and he shared this story. He's a very witty man, actually, but he always has a pithy word in season. And he shared this story, which I've never forgotten. And I think the children can relate to this one as well. So imagine that your life is like a car. Now, a car isn't much use unless you've got somebody to drive it. And J. John explained that when you become a Christian, you basically invite Jesus into the car of your life. But the question for Christians is, where is Jesus sitting? So some people have got Jesus in the driving seat, but as they're driving along and it comes to a crossroads, Jesus goes to turn down the road of being more generous. And suddenly they're reaching over from the passenger seat. No, not that way, Jesus. I don't want to go that way. Or maybe Jesus reaches a T-junction and he's about to go down the road of forgiving that person that you really don't like and has really offended you. And you're shouting from the back seat, no, Jesus, I don't want to go that way. And then J. John joked that some Christians even have Jesus locked in the boot of the car. And come Sunday, drive into church, open up the boot, dust him off into church for an hour, and then it's back in the boot because really, like King Saul, Jesus is not really in charge at all. Well, I'm sure there's nobody in that category in our congregation here. But you can get the point of it, can't you? That Jesus wants and deserves to be the driver of your car. He wants to be king of our lives, and he wants to take us on an adventure, much like David's life was an adventure with some very low moments, including in that cave. But we have to trust that Jesus knows what is best. So let me finish with the question, is Jesus the king of your life? And if you think about your life as a car, where is he sitting in your life's car? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, which is timeless, with these ancient stories of David and Saul, which speak so powerfully still into our lives today. We thank you for your word, and we just pray for everyone here, and especially the children, that our church family children would come to know you while they are still young, that they would learn to walk in your ways, to put you first in their lives, and to seek what you have for them, even through the difficult times and being teased at school or whatever it might be for being a person of faith. I pray, like David and Jesus, they would hold the line and walk in your ways, Lord, and that you'd bless them in that. Thank you for this time, Lord, and we commit the rest of our day and our week to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.